This is a war between the government and the Tamil people.
I'm not a fucking terrorist. You are the terrorist.
People are crying out for justice in this country.
If you've got to be militant to achieve your aims and your aspirations, so be it.
There's a real hypocrisy from the big corporations.
The people from below will push for real change.
This Australia is going to be shocked, and then the public will say, what the hell's going on?
For those unfamiliar, Disrupt Burrup Hub is a grassroots direct action group looking to stop the expansion of Woodside's massive gas hub up north in the Burrup. It's a project that will destroy around 1 million pieces of ancient Aboriginal Murujuga rock art. It's a sacred site and some of the oldest art in the world, including the earliest known depiction of a human face. And what's more, the Burrup Hub will completely blow out Labor's climate targets. It's a massive carbon bomb, and it will endanger countless species on and off the coast up north. Recently, Disrupt Burrup Hub planned a protest outside the City Beach mansion of Woodside CEO Meg O'Neill, with heavily armed counter-terrorist police found out about this unannounced protest. Somehow they intercepted comms or something like that. They knew about the protest and were there overnight, camped out the front of Meg O'Neill's place, waiting for these protesters to arrive. And they arrested Matilda Lane Rose, a 19-year-old climate activist who's been involved in the School Strike for Climate movement before becoming involved in Disrupt Burrup Hub. She's been at it for a good while now. She was arrested out the front of Meg O'Neill's house before even engaging in any kind of real protest action. So we're going to play the press conference that Matilda held outside Parliament House alongside Desmond Burton, who is an environmental activist, and he's from the Deaths in Custody Watch Committee. He's an absolute legend. This press conference was barely touched by the corporate or state media that were there at the actual press conference, except for some of the reporting that you might have seen in the West Australian, which portrayed Matilda Lane Rose as frivolous and irrational. They were going on about how she cared more about her Doc Martens than democracy or something like that. But we really wanted to share that here today so you can hear about the action in her own words. Here is Matilda and Desmond.
The action that took place on Tuesday morning was a peaceful protest. No harm was intended, yet when I stepped out of the vehicle that morning, I was swarmed upon by over a dozen counter-terrorist police officers. May I just remind you, I'm a 19-year-old university student who had a bike lock in her hand, and a dozen counter-terrorist police officers. They then detained me for 12 hours. 4 of those hours were spent raiding my share house, where 2 other young people lived, aged 19 and 22. There were 10 police officers there, all but one of them male, where I have one young woman and another young person in my house. And they went through all of our bedrooms. They read my roommate's diaries. They're not involved in the campaign. I am. They seized some of my items, including my favourite pair of Doc Martens and my favourite handbag, which I'm very sad to have lost. And yeah. I stand by my place as an activist in the Disrupt Burrup Hub campaign, and I refuse to back down. I refuse to let the state, the police forces, and Woodside's intimidation scare me off from speaking out for what I believe is right. And what I believe is right is that Woodside ends their industry on the Burrup Hub immediately. We cannot allow it to continue. If people my age, if future generations want to inherit a world that is safe to live in, that is not destroyed as a result of fossil fuel driven climate change. And I find it quite ironic that the media coverage in the past few days has revolved around one very wealthy woman in her home, when in the next 365 days globally there are 20 million people that are set to lose their homes due to climate change. Jump to 2050, 1 billion people will have lost their homes due to climate change. Where's the talk about them? So that's why I'm here, that's why I'm standing here, that's why I'm standing by this non-violent action that I have partaken in, this non-violent, peaceful protest. And yeah, I'm proud to be a part of Disrupt Burrup Hub, and we're not stopping, we're not backing down. There's plenty more that you're yet to see from this campaign. Thank you.
Miss O'Neill says that she felt threatened in the home that she shares with her family. Do you have any remorse for the way that you feel in her own home?
I think, in terms of her feeling threatened, I'd just like it to be known that there were over a dozen counter-terrorist police officers camped both inside and outside her property overnight. So I think that she was very, very protected on Tuesday, and there was no threat whatsoever posed to her by me, a 19-year-old, carrying a bike lock on that morning.
Is Megan going to show remorse for our motherland?
Exactly.
For our future generations? For our grandchildren? For our sacred vision?
So the answer is that you don't hold any remorse for what you did?
I'm not commenting on my remorse right now. I think that's, yeah.
The question should be, is Megan remorseful about the destruction she's doing up on Mirajuga, destroying sacred rock art, petroglyphs? What if we Aboriginal people go over to Westminster Downey and start smashing down there, or go to Egypt and start ripping down their petroglyphs? We are respectful people. We expect the same respect to be given to us, especially when it comes to our culture.
Some are saying that these sorts of actions, personally targeting a person, does nothing for the cause that you're trying to achieve. What would you say to that?
I think that if anyone has a better idea on how to affect change and set an opposition to its side, they are more than welcome to go out, pitch some ideas, start their own action group. I'd love to see more people getting out and being active in the best ways that they know how. So, yeah.
So that question, Megan, what we're doing is going to do nothing for our Aboriginal culture. So that is going to destroy it, as per usual, for gas and minerals.
And on that as well, the Albanese Labor government has consistently said that gas is a necessary transition to get to net zero. What do you have to say about that?
I personally do not agree with that. In terms of Australia's gas, we are the world's largest exporter of LNG. And if the Burrup Hub was actually a country itself, it would be the seventh largest exporter of LNG in the world. So, you know, we're not talking about small numbers here with the Burrup Hub. We're talking about an obscene amount of gas and an obscene amount of carbon emissions that are occurring due to the result of the gas industry up on the Burrup, which Woodside is currently working to expand for their Browse project.
To the question here about Albanese, ask him this. Is it our culture or gas is more important on our tribal lands?
Well, other campaigners have been through the court process barred from being around other campaigners. Is that something you're going to appeal by?
Yes, that is something I'm adhering by. And while my bail conditions, I've felt that they've been an overstep. I, as a 19-year-old uni student, have had bail conditions apply to me that are normally reserved for outlaw motorcycle gangs. I can no longer publicly associate with anyone that has been a public part of the Disrupt Burrup Hub campaign, whether that has been associated with this action or previous entirely unrelated actions. So yeah, I cannot speak to them until those conditions have been lifted. I'm not sure when that is. My lawyer and I will be fighting against that.
Would you like to, there's only one of the opportunities tonight, would you like to apologise for?
I don't really have any comments to make to Ms. O'Neill while my legal proceedings are still happening. Yep.
Megan should be apologising to our owners up on the Ngura, Nama, Yindjibarne. So apologise to them for what she is doing to our sacred site. That's 60,000 years old. We got petroglyphs on there. That's a Tasmanian tiger. That goes way back. Now, when is people going to realise that our culture is the most important on this land? I just want to encourage everyone to listen to our people, listen to our land. It's crying out. And when it's our culture that's being destroyed, rock art, how do you think it affects us? How do you think it affects us that we just walk away from this and get over it, just like everyone tells us to do? No, no, no. Megan, you start paying attention to those people up there.
We need our tribal lands protected, not destroyed and dumped out in the sea. That's wrong. That's discarding of our cultural heritage in the sea. Shame.
Today on Indie Media, we're talking all about Disrupt Burrup Hub. We've been following this movement for quite some time, and we will continue to do so because we believe they're doing some quite important actions to try and get Woodside to back down from their massively polluting project up north. Earlier we heard from Matilda Lane Rose. Sorry, I'm having trouble with her last name because her name's similar to my doctor. Anyway, we heard from Matilda Lane Rose and Desmond Burton addressing the media regarding the recent action outside of Woodside CEO Meg O'Neill's house. And earlier I spoke to Jesse Noakes from Disrupt Burrup Hub on this sort of ongoing movement and the ongoing coverage by the corporate media and how they're spinning it to their advantage, and constant targeting of this movement by counter-terrorist police. Let's hear from Jesse, hear what he's got to say. G'day, Jesse. Thanks for joining us here on Indie Media today.
Joni, always a pleasure to talk to Indie Media. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm well. My house hasn't been raided by counter-terrorism or anything like that. So you're part of Disrupt Burrup Hub. What do you sort of do as part of the group?
My primary role with Disrupt Burrup Hub is as media advisor and media contact. So it's my job to ensure the story about Woodside's Burrup Hub and its incredibly dangerous and toxic impact on climate and culture is known about as far and wide as possible. So for some months I've been working with the campaign, who have been conducting a series of very kind of innovative and escalating actions to highlight what Woodside's Burrup Hub is doing. And my role is to ensure that the word gets out, the journos turn up, it gets in the media, and therefore more people take more action, and the campaign can kind of go from strength to strength.
Right. On that, since you're the media guy, what do you think of the corporate media's coverage of this movement?
Well, I think there's a few points to unpick in relation to that. Firstly, I should say very clearly from the outset, in relation to Tuesday's action, despite several days of coverage that suggested otherwise, there was never at any point any intention, any prospect or any possibility of anyone entering the home of Meg O'Neill, except, I might add, for the more than a dozen counter-terror cops who were stationed inside when one 19-year-old young woman turned up with a spray can on Tuesday morning outside the property. So I think the coverage that suggested there was any prospects of anyone being threatened or intimidated or bullied should reflect more on the presence of heavily armed, militarised police inside the home rather than one 19-year-old outside the home. I think the other point I would make in relation to the media coverage of Tuesday's protest is that it's somewhat a case of the media kind of chasing its tail and eating itself. There's been a lot of focus on why the ABC were there, who knew what when, who told the ABC to be there, what did the ABC know in advance. I am far, far more interested in who told more than a dozen counter-terror police to be there in advance, overnight camped out in Meg O'Neill's garden and inside her house waiting for a 19-year-old girl to turn up to send a message about her generation's future to the Woodside CEO. I think the ABC's conduct was completely exemplary and typical. They were there responding to a tip from a source to report a story. There's nothing unusual about that. Many, many, many media outlets have done that in relation to this campaign in the past. Channel 7 and the West Australian foremost among them, despite their relentless front-page coverage of the ABC's role in all of this. 7 West have benefited from many tips from myself in the past for protests such as these. It just so happened that on this occasion I had a missed call from Channel 7 on my phone as police arrested me while I was sitting in a stationary car outside the property having just led the ABC to the protest. So I think the media coverage has been extraordinary. I've seen a few media shitstorms in my time, but I can honestly say I've never seen anything quite like the past week. And I think there is still a lot to unpack and untangle, and Four Corners is going to be bigger than Ben-Hur when it finally comes out, because they have got the goods. They were there when more than a dozen heavily armed, militarised counter-terror police burst out of the Woodside CEO's front door and confronted one 19-year-old young woman holding a spray can. So I think hopefully they can hold their nerve and get that story out, because it's going to be a belter when they do.
Wow, yeah, I'll definitely be watching that. I imagine it's coming out in the next couple of weeks.
I think the onus is on the ABC to get it out sooner rather than later, because the WA police and the WA government are doing everything they can to stop that footage coming to air, because what it will reveal is a very, very pointed picture of how power operates in this state, which is to say that when the choice comes down to who do you protect, future generations and teenagers standing up and speaking out and defending their future, or the most powerful, wealthiest vested interests in this state, the CEO of the largest fossil fuel company in Western Australia and in Australia. It's pretty illustrated, the events of Tuesday morning, where the WA government and the authorities choose to dispose their resources, and that is to stand between a 19-year-old girl concerned about her future and fossil fuel CEOs. So I think that, the WA government and WA police, understandably, are somewhat concerned about what the Four Corners footage may demonstrate about their role in all of this. They had a couple of days of clear air to propagate their version of events, while I and some other key people were locked up in custody, unable to communicate or access any of our devices. So for 48 hours, Woodside and the WA government had the run of the board. They got their story out. Good on them. Hats off to them. They set a trap. And they definitely, they definitely stitched it up. But I think there is more to come in this space. So they may have won this round, but I will be waiting to see what that footage looks like. I didn't actually see what happened myself. I was in a car facing down the street when I heard the yell of police, nobody move, echo out across that suburban street. But Four Corners certainly got it. Can't wait to see what it looks like.
For sure, and we'll be continuing to cover Disrupt Burrup Hub and everything you guys do here on Indie Media. So, Jesse, we've got a pretty good picture of what happened on Tuesday, as about as good as we can get, really. But there's this ongoing targeting of this movement by counter-terrorist forces using laws that were designed essentially for terrorist attacks and against like bikies and organised crime groups. This is an ongoing thing, and it's been going on for months and months. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I'm speaking to you from an office that has been raided multiple times by counter-terror police. I have got a car parked outside this office that has also been raided and searched by police. On none of those occasions did they find any materials, but nonetheless, what they did find were my phone and laptop on multiple occasions. I'm calling you off my third phone in 3 months because police have got the other two. Likewise, my laptop, they've tried to access those. I am far from alone in this. As I mentioned earlier, there are more than a dozen people who've been the subject, or possibly one might say the victim, of this very, very vigorous and escalating police response. There are young families, mothers with young children, who as recently as last Tuesday were arrested, detained without charge or without suspicion, and held for several hours while their home was broken into and searched by police while their young children were waiting to come home from school. There was also last week, a young man, a 21-year-old, who was stopped and searched by police while driving, and a gun was allegedly pulled on him during the course of that. Now, I think the impact and the intimidation of those policing tactics ought not to be underestimated, and the impact that it has on people. The constant surveillance of campaigners manifests not just in the presence of dozens of counter-terror cops conducting a sting in City Beach last Tuesday morning to trap teenage climate campaigners. It also manifests in, a climate in which it is very apparent that monitoring and surveillance by police is extensive and ongoing and preemptive. I've got documents that show that I've been monitored by police in advance of previous actions, including having my house... there's been certainly, without going into too much detail right now, more will come out in due course, but there's certainly been a very, very comprehensive consolidated police operation over multiple months to target what, when push comes to shove, is a few young people with some paint trying to send a message about the most toxic fossil fuel project in the country, a project that will emit more than 6 billion tonnes of CO2 over the next 50 years and directly imperil the futures of those very young people and everyone listening today, and also directly impacts and desecrates First Nations culture, the sacred Murujuga rock art, which I've been so lucky to spend so much time amongst over recent years, and the impact of Woodside's Burra Pub on both of those is so acute and so shameful that WA Police and the WA Government are throwing everything they've got at trying to suppress any discussion or any awareness of that crisis that is, you know, taking place as we speak on our very doorstep in Western Australia. And I think the resources that are thrown at targeting individual climate campaigners and their families ought to be weighed against the colossal resources that are invested in perpetuating that fossil fuel dynasty and oligopoly and protecting the vested corporate interests that are continuing to kill this planet, our culture, and every one of us. So I think it's certainly something that ought to be scrutinised, and I'm glad that it now is.
Absolutely. So just speaking on this tactic of the cops, essentially they're trying to intimidate you and others out of organising, and there's been plenty of public figures who've, you know, like yourself, have had their devices taken away and their homes raided. We spoke to Trent of Last Quokka a couple of weeks back. You know, there's Matilda that we've been talking about today, and plenty of other public figures in the Disrupt Burra Pub movement. How much of an impact is this having on your movement? Are you having trouble bringing new folks in to help you out?
Surprisingly, I think it's quite the opposite. I mean, certainly they're throwing everything they've got, including very, very punitive and disruptive bail conditions, which prevent people from associating. There are now three people I can't talk to at all. Matilda and Emil, a 19-year-old and a 21-year-old, both university students who have been connected with this campaign. They are prevented from speaking to a total of about a dozen people, some close friends of theirs. That is just a very, very overt and transparent attempt by authorities to shut this campaign down and make its operations more difficult. It's not working. We're continuing to operate. You know, we bounce back. We continue to operate completely transparently and in the open ourselves with the necessary security measures, although obviously the degree of surveillance and police escalation sometimes overwhelms even those measures. But if I tell you that just last week there was a public meeting in West Perth attended by more than 50 people to learn how and why to disrupt Burra Pub, and then that was followed by an action training last Sunday where more than 30 people turned up in Subiaco on Sunday afternoon to learn exactly how they too can take action, I think it gives some indication of the upswell of public support and sympathy behind this. We don't need every single person to like or love or approve of every single thing this campaign does. As long as they're learning about Woodside's Burra Pub and understanding or beginning to understand why it's so dangerous, our job is done. They don't have to like it. They don't have to approve of every single protest tactic. That's fine. I'm not here to defend the tactics. I'm here to express and explain the message. And the best way to get that out in front of people is to do, you know, high-profile, direct action that propagates that message as widely as possible. And I think the more people hear about it, the more people understand why it's necessary to stand up and oppose Woodside's Burra Pub and all its horrendous impacts. And I think that's, you know, that's expressed in the dozens and dozens, the more than 100 people now who have come along and signed up and indicated they want to take action too. And now that I've got my phone back and now that we've got our laptops back online, they're going to have to do a lot better than locking me up overnight in the Perth Watch House to stop us getting the word out. I've been on the phone this morning to the ABC, to the Guardian, to everyone else. There's no stopping this movement and this message getting out because it's too urgent, and too many people now know exactly what's at stake. So I think there's going to be more meetings, there's going to be more trainings, and there are going to be a lot more actions that will continue to drive attention to Woodside's Burra Pub and the toxic brand damage that Woodside are doing to themselves, and the social license that they no longer enjoy to operate that, you know, the largest gas plant in the Southern Hemisphere. It's got to stop. And the more people understand why, the more they're going to get on board and want to get involved themselves.
Great stuff, Jesse. You guys are standing bloody strong in the face of state intimidation and, you know, corporate media garbage. How can people get involved if they want to join Disrupt Burrup Hub?
Very good question. So there's still everything's as it was before this latest round of you know, the state trying to smash back and suppress this campaign and its vital work. The website, www.disruptburruphub.com, has all the info, including upcoming events. There is an online public meeting happening next week, which people can sign up for then. That will explain exactly what's at stake and why we need to disrupt Burrup Hub. It will also explain how to do it. And I would encourage anyone who wants to get involved to jump on the website, to jump on the socials, to shoot us a message. There is a mailing list that people can sign up for to be kept up to date with any upcoming developments. And while obviously authorities have done everything they can to take us offline, they're going to have to try a lot harder than that to shut this one down because, like I say, we're in too deep. The situation's too serious. The crisis is too acute. And Woodside's Burrup Hub must be stopped, come what may. So until that day comes and they stop approving expansion on sacred Murujuga, people can get involved. And the meetings will keep coming, trainings will keep coming, and the actions will keep coming. And hope to see more and more people out on the streets showing their opposition to this planet-destroying project.